عمر كسهابا The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة
گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا کتنے نازوں سے پالا تھا ہم نے ہر طرح سے سنبھالا تھا ہم نے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے گھر کی یادوں میں وہ
السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اہلا وسہلا و مرحبا بكم. Well, it's 4 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful mashallah Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. I hope the rain comes down inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. The 21st of Safar, 1443. We want to welcome all our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. We welcome all our beloved, wonderful listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, we welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. Remember our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. Welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khaira.
There's a listener saying, yeah, Ustad, please share this with Mufti Saab. My brother got married in a strange way, very strange way. His mother-in-law passed away the morning of his nikah. He got married first instead of going to the mayit. Is this not disrespectful of him? Ustad Anonymous?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us look at the sequence of events, the way the question is posed. Let's say the mother-in-law, Allah Ta'ala grant her Jannat al-Firdaus, and whenever we lose our parents, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Almighty Allah do we belong, and unto Almighty Allah is the return. And then you read Surah chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. O beloved Allah, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So now we say 5-6 o'clock in the morning she passed away. The nikah was about 11 o'clock for example, and the janaza was after they consulted after Zohar, 1 o'clock for example, I'm just giving. So in that case, if they perform the nikah before the janaza, so that's fine, there's no problem. After janaza, as it is, what will happen is, then people will disperse here and there, and so many other wife also, whose mother passed away, you must remember that she will think that now my mother is also buried and so forth, and now it's supposed to be my happy day. So what they did, although it can be construed from a certain perspective as disrespectful, but Islamically there's no problem with that, and remember the nikah is totally valid.
Someone says, my husband eats anything which has a halal stamp on it, dear Mufti Saab. He says, those people who allow their stamp to be placed on it are the sinners if it's not halal. Am I a sinner, Ustad, if I have doubts if it's halal or not and still eat from it, Ustad?
You know that we sent out a book, we call it the Red Book, the Lal Kitab. But this Lal Kitab is not like that book which our forefathers brought from India when they came 100, 150, 160 years ago. And if any one of you want, then just send a message to me, 071-888-1184. And inshallah, just write the Red Book and we will forward it to you, the PDF copy. So in that way there you can see how the different organizations, even on pork, Allah forbid, sometimes they put halal stamps and so forth. So therefore, whether it's South Africa, Africa, the Arab world, any part of the world today, maybe 1-2% you can exempt, but otherwise across the board, every country I went to, I always ask them, there are a few questions I will always find out, that what's the story of the halal in this country? Then and we have no doubt in it. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's a money-making gimmick. And remember, those halal certificates are just like the matric certificates. You know, I sent out, now today is Wednesday, on Monday. So one person, an economist and so forth, said the South African certificate, matric certificate, is not worth the paper on which it is printed. So I've been saying this for years and years. This halal logo goes are not worth the paper on which they are written. We must remember that. Kain and mankan, irrespective of which organization it is. Therefore, for a person just to say he just sees halal, you can see in the morning also, we open the floor for the non-Muslims to ask, how many of them are asking that I'm selling this, can't I just put a halal logo? So who knows what's going on today? You must remember that. So see what Quran Kareem teaches us, and see what the Ahadith Mubarakah teaches us, and see what your husband or anybody else for that matter is doing. Almighty Allah teaches us, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O humankind. Allah did not address, remember, Muslims alone. Allah Ta'ala said, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O humankind, O people, Kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, that you must consume of that from the land, from the sand, which is halal, lawful, and tayyibah, pure and wholesome. This much I take wallahi, I take it as custom and oath. On it, these halal logos on that chicken and on that meat and that, and they say is tayyibah, absolute lie. Not one of them can really say that it is tayyib. And we say it's not even halal in most instances. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow in the footsteps of the shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, he is indeed your open enemy. So this is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 168. Now come to two ahadith and see. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his beloved Nawasa, his grandson, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu an, the hadith authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif, دَعَ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ, leave that which puts you and places you into doubt, and abstain from that, you must stay away, and rather choose that in which there is no doubt in it. That is what Islam teaches us, because it will impact on your deeds and actions. Today people can't read Fajr Salat, people can't read 5 daily Salat, simple examples, so many other examples, because what they consume makes them lethargic, makes them lazy, and for them in vices they'll be number one, and in virtue, in good deeds, they'll be last because of what they eat. And then Nabi alayhi salatu salam told Wabisa radiallahu an, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Istafti nafsak, istafti qalbak, wa in aftak an nas. Ask your conscience, ask your own heart, even though some maulana, some mufti, some sheikhs, some imams, they tell you it's halal and so forth. You must ask your conscience. So for him to say that they are to blame, yes, that is true, but he also is to blame for going against all these ahadith and so forth. So we should not take this lightly. You must remember it's a serious issue. There is a thing called input and output. When our input is tainted, polluted, haram, then the output will also become actions that leave a lot to be desired. Allah Jalla Wala protect us all.
Someone wants to know, Ustad, from Durban, my child refuses to listen to me. dear Mufti AK, can I take his rights away from him, Ustad? No more gifts.
Remember, what is the age of your son, your daughter? If they are 10, 12, 14, 15, and now they are so rebellious, disobedient, then definitely you must take away the perks you are giving them. We have spoiled our children. We speak in generally. So we already gave them cell phones, we gave them computers, we gave them so many other gadgets, PlayStations, and what, I don't even know the names and so forth. So what we have done, we have not shared the love with them, we have bought the love. Whenever this topic comes out, I call this the C syndrome, A, B, C. You gave them cash, you gave them clothing, you gave them CDs, you gave them computers, then you gave them cell phones, then when they grew up, you gave them cars. So look at how many C's we gave. But the greatest C we did not give. And what is that? Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ نَحْلًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ. The good character, that is the best gift. You know, you use the word gift. Yeah, the word نَحَل. نَحَل means نِحْلَ, a gift. So in the hadith, in authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif, so you father, mother, remember that is not only the gadgets and the material things. We have to give our children and our flowers the greatest gift after the iman, and that is molding them, their morals, their manners, their character, and so forth and so on.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that we love Merkaz Sahaba, and Jazakumullah for always passing your knowledge on to us, Ustad. I am married for 9 years now without kids, Ustad. Can we follow the rest of the world by having injected kids? Anonymous from Santon, Ustad.
Remember that I would not advise you to do that. You should go to Quran Sharif, and you should go to the Ahadith Mubarakah and so forth. So what does the Quran Sharif say? Now let us take Quran. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is in his old age. He's got two wives, Sayyida Sarah radiallahu anha and Sayyida Hajar radiallahu anha. Lo and behold, no children. And then he cries, he petitions Almighty Allah. Chapter 37 verse 100, you know Surah Yasin. And after Surah Yasin comes Surah Swafat. So that is the ranks and the rows of the angels. So thereafter you will find in verse 100, he cried to Allah. Both translations acceptable. 37, chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh my beloved Allah, grant me pious children. Second translation, Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me normal children, no disability, no defect, and so forth and so on. So read the dua of a Nabi. Allah Ta'ala tells us in chapter 6 verse 90, 90, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. These Anbiya, prophets and messengers, Allah guided them. You must follow in their footsteps. Second Nabi, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, he's old, and he and his wife Alicia. His wife's name Alicia. So they both old, no children. See three verses I give you, how he showed how to make dua. Number one, brother, sister, you married 9 years, so you should read chapter 21. Chapter 21 verse 89. In the 17th Jew, 17th Subara. Rabbi la tadarni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Oh Allah, don't leave us alone and give us. You are the best one to grant us an heir. So they continue with a message and mission. So heir don't mean about material wealth. The message and mission of Islam and Tawheed and all that must continue. Second dua Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam made, chapter 3 verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Oh my beloved Allah, grant me from your side. That is dhurriyatan tayyiba. Chaste, pure children. Verily, Allah, you are the one who listens to the dua. So that's number two. Then number three, remember that in the beginning of Surah 19. And that is Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 2, 3, 4. You read all that and see. How? Idhnada Rabbahu Nidana Khafiya. So now he called Almighty Allah softly, not screaming. Qala Rabbi Inni Wahana Al-Azmu Minni Washtala Al-Rasu Shayba. Ya Allah, my body is gone brittle, is gone weak and so forth, brittle and so forth. Ya Allah, and my hair is gone grayish and whitish, Ya Allah. And then he cries to Allah. See, so you must do that. Then make istighfar abundantly. Chapter 71, verses number 9, 10 and 11. That is istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. When you make istighfar, that Allah is ghaffar, very, very forgiving. Yursili sama alaykum midrara. He will send beneficial rain for you. Wa yumdidukum bi amwali wa banin. Allah will send for you, grant you wealth, and grant you wonderful children. So leave all these artificial things, and remember, cry, and turn to Almighty Allah. Give our charity daily, and today is Wednesday. After Zuhur, your du'as are accepted. Idha sa'altumullah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. So read and perform your Zuhur Salat. Thereafter, read 2 rakat extra Nafil Salat, and go into Sajda, and Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. Beg Almighty Allah, and Allah will make decisions in our favor. Bifadlihi wa rahmatihi wa judihi wa karamihi. Out of His mercy, grace, benevolence, and generosity. So that is Almighty Allah. Remember, Allah loves it when we beg Him, Almighty Allah.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Mufti Sahab, I am a single mom, and I was involved in a car accident, and I was picked up by a non-mahram man who brought me to the hospital, Ustad. Am I or they sinful for touching me, Ustad?
So you must remember, we don't know all the circumstances and so forth. So if you were in a serious accident, were you unconscious, were you in a coma and so forth, and there was matter of life and death, or was it just a small accident that you could and so forth. So anyway, if it was done deliberately, intentionally, then read 2 rakat salat and ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness. If it was matter of life and death, and then strange men touch you and so forth, so because they had to rush you to the hospital, the clinic, you were losing too much blood and so forth, then ad-darurat tubihul mahzurat. That when is a matter of life and death, then things that are normally haram become acceptable, meaning that there's no sin upon you. But anyway, the best thing for you, sister, will be read 2 rakat salatu tawbah, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, give out some charity. Allah Jalla Wala is Ghaffar, He's Ghafoor, He's Tawwab. He will forgive me, you, and all of us.
Allahu Akbar. Listen to this message, Ustad. Anonymous says, a week ago, my best friend's wife called my wife and me for help in a certain matter. She says that she made a big mistake. They got a child after 10 years of marriage. But this child is not my best friend's, Ustad. It's another man's. He doesn't know this, and he loves his 2-year-old two births. Should we tell him, dear Mufti Sahab, or should we keep the secret to the grave? The worst part is, he loves his wife a lot, and knowing the truth will kill him. I would like to remain anonymous, Ustad.
Remember that in a case like that, let us look at the sequence of events. Mm-hmm. Number one is this, there's a couple, they married 9-10 years, whatever the case might be. They did not have children, and then the laws of parda, hijab, all that were thrown out of the window. People say you must be broad-minded, so broad-minded. So you must remember that her lover would come to her house when the husband is not there, the husband does not know, and then she conceived, remember, with her lover's baby and so forth and so on. And now the husband really loves this child and so forth, because you must remember after 8, 9, 10 years the wife gave birth. So she, now the guilty conscience got the better of her, so she called her best friend and her husband and told them. So now the question is, what must be done? Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-waladu lil-firash. That, remember, the child will belong to the husband. So the lineage will go to the husband, and your mother just keep it quiet, and you carry on in life. Remember this thing. So you make tawbah, sister, because you committed a major, major crime. And adultery you committed, you and your lover. So for you, the death penalty. That lover of yours, if he was married, then for him the death penalty. If he was not married, then for him is 100 lashes. And both these punishments, death penalty and 100 lashes, must be carried out in public in a true Muslim Islamic country. And obviously we can't do that, so you just keep quiet and beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. You, the two confidants, the two friends, the husband, wife who came there, to whom this lady broke the news to, so you also just keep it silent. Man satara musliman satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. You keep it quiet, and Allah Ta'ala will cover and conceal your faults and your sins as well. Don't you go and now tell your friend, and then you go tell your friend, and so forth. Then everything will blow out of proportion, and so forth. That she made a mistake, Allah Ta'ala forgive her, and you must now keep it quiet. Ya Sattar al-Zunub, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ya Allah, you are Sattar, cover and conceal all our vices, cover all our sins. So that is what you must do. And this hadith is authentic, al-waladu lil-firash, mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad.
The sister says, it's exactly what you just said, Mufti Sahab, that what transpired, and we're going to tell her to break off completely ties with that guy, Ustad. But what happens if he comes back, Ustad, for the child?
Obviously, you must remember, she must have a ties with that person there, and he's got no rights over the child, and you must remember, you must sever all ties with him.
Ustad, can I go for Umrah? With my ex-father-in-law, I have remarried after divorce to his son. My ex-father-in-law has offered to take me. Anonymous, Ustad.
So you must remember, the father-in-law and daughter-in-law, he will always be mahram for you, even after your husband passes away, or your husband divorces you. So in this case here, he has divorced you. So in a case like that, if the father-in-law and you go for Umrah, so from fatwa point of view, is permissible. But and the dalil and evidence is in the Quran, so both ways it's there. I'm married and I have my wife, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and I have mother-in-law, she passed away here. So you must remember chapter 4, surah 4, verse 23, wa ummahatu nisaikum, and your wife's mother, so she's haram for you perpetually. So mother-in-law in English. Then surah 24, verse 31, o abaihinna, o abaibu ulatihinna, when your father is a mahram, your biological father or your husband's father, so that is, you must remember your father-in-law, and this is perpetual. So therefore, even husband dies or divorces, still between him and you, he still remains your mahram. However, seeing that he is offered you, so now we must know the whole thing. What does he mean he offered you? That you go with him alone? Then we will say, no, you can't do that. You must remember that. Because imagine you're going to be sleeping in one room, and it can be hanky-panky business, and the situation can be exploited, and so forth and so on. If he is going with his daughter, or he's going with his wife, and your mother-in-law, your previous mother-in-law, and then you go with, so then we will say, yes, it is acceptable, and you go. But remember that we are telling everybody currently, with all the situation, yesterday one brother, he sent me, you must remember, the permission, the license they got. So in Medina Munawwara, when you are there, you can enter the masjid, read salat. But to go read salat and salam, there by the Rosa Mubarak in front, you have to apply. So you must remember, so he sent it to me, it's in Arabic and English and so forth. So you allowed half an hour. Then today he said, so difficult things are here. So that's in Medina Munawwara. In Makkah, you only allowed one Umrah, no Nafil Tawaf. You're not allowed for further Salat. They will tell you which Salat you're allowed to go, and so forth and so on. So therefore me, I totally discourage people. Why should you spend thousands and thousands of rands and dollars and you go there and they want to impose all their haram conditions upon us. We are Duyufur Rahman, Duyufur Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the guest of Almighty Allah jalla wala. We are the mehman and the guest of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the guest of some politicians or some government or some rulers and so forth. So who want, you must remember, to appease the non-Muslims and so forth. So therefore, I totally discourage people to go for Umrah under the current conditions and climate.
There's a brother from Binoni saying here that, dear Mufti Saab, Islam is easy and it's beautiful. But Mufti Saab, you make Islam so difficult and hard and take things out from your pockets. That's why people don't respect Majlis, Ustad. Anonymous from Binoni, Ustad.
So you must remember, we are not here to curry favor with you or with anybody else. You must remember that any fatwa we pass, you must show us that that fatwa in the light of Quran, in the light of Sunnah Mubarakah, in the light of Fatawa of Sahaba, in the light of the four schools, is against that. Then we will say that that fatwa was incorrect and that is the fatwa. But what you want to join your clique are those that you must remember that friends of the court to close the masjid before time. Your clique are those, you must remember, who joined the lesbians and they went with them as friends of the court. Your clique are those that promote the haram vaccine and so forth. Then you say we are making Islam difficult. They take haram things totally and make it permissible and try and justify it. Just yesterday. So now they, because they're losing so much funds and donors, and this will continue till they die. You can write it on their grave. You must remember that. The people who close the mosque, that also you can do. You must remember that. Because not the lie. So you must remember that. So what they are doing, so yesterday somebody sent to me that they put the one hadith there, go to the masjid and read salat in jamaat, you get 27 times more reward. When they closed the mosque, became friends of the court, closed the mosque before the government said so, and all that, they didn't think of all this. So remember that are your clique and your pals, remember that. So these type of people, our fatwa is very clear, to read salat behind them is not permissible.
Somebody says, can me and my husband, Ustad, read our namazes together, Ustad? We don't have a masjid near us.
So you must remember, if you are musafir, me and my wife, so many a time at this airport, that airport and so forth, I give the adhan, then I give the iqamah, and it's zuhr time, then we read the two rakat salat, I'm in front, my wife behind me. So remember, that's totally permissible. Not permissible, it's meritorious and desirable to do so. Instead of me reading salat individually, she reading salat individually. But if you are in a place where the is a masjid and so forth and so on, then the men must go and read salat in the mosque, in the masajid, and the women must read at home. That is what Islam, the Quran, the Sunnah, Sahaba, A'imma, Arba, our four schools teach us. So that is very clear. Now you say you're living in a place where there's no mosque. So now the next question will come, how far is the mosque? If the mosque is, you must remember, 5 kilos, 10 kilos and so forth, so at least one salat or so the person should go. You must remember that. But if there's no staying in a remote area, a farm and so forth, then very good. Tell your husband he must render the adhan, and then you'll read your sunnats and all that, and thereafter you read your first salat in jama'ah. The husband will render the iqamat, and then he'll make imamat, and you, the wife, if it's only husband, wife, husband in front and the wife right behind him. So that is what will happen.
It says, yes, salams, Mulana Arafat. I just need to comment on the Q&A program hosted by yourself with Mufti AK. Respected Mufti Saab has been blessed with great knowledge, and this knowledge is being spread to all those who listen and participate in this program. I personally have learned a lot from this program, and inshallah, Allah grant me the tawfiq to make amal on this. May sweetness of Islam flow from Mufti's mouth, and inshallah, May Allah use him to unite all the ulama. Ustad.
Alhamdulillah, we don't take no credit. We are non-entities. Hada min fadli Rabbi is only the mercy and grace of Allah. But inshaAllah, inshaAllah, till our last breath, we will never ever try and curry favor with any government, any politician, any organization or person. Remember that. So that is what the ulama esu, the evil scholars, the scholars for dollars are doing in South Africa, in other parts of the world. There's no shortage of them. You must remember that. You see the government every week, every now to Monday, one about the artist and all that, 300 million. Now again today, another, I don't know how many hundred million. So you must remember, minister, ex-minister of health and so forth. So remember that, that al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. The impure goes to the impure. The boot licking goes on. So why must you be going there as friends of the court to curry favor with such corrupt people and governments? So because they want to be in the limelight. And when you close the masjid, Allah Ta'ala says, Surah 2 verse 114, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them, you must remember, this disgrace. And for them, in the year, that's in the world, the disgrace. And in the year after, a horrible, terrible, grievous punishment. This morning, Maulana, we had the question. So you must remember that some trustees, some imams, must be some crooked scholars again for dollars, you must remember. They got the big board there, or they got the guard there, that if you can't show that your certificate that you took vaccine, you can't come in the masjid. It's your father's house, this, I'm asking you. It's your father's house. So you must remember, this is Allah's house. Masajid Allah. Every masjid belongs to Almighty Allah. So wherever you see these kind of things, you, the public, the masses, must stand up and demand that such people must resign. They're not fit to be a trustee. I mentioned everything this morning. So that is our fight and conflict. Remember that. We must strive for the haq and the truth and not curry favor with the batil and false.
Haq, Ustad. I see somebody says from Lens, but don't you think they are stopping and spreading from this COVID to start.
So when they go in the bus, when they go in the taxi, when they go in the malls, it's end of the month, just see everywhere. Okay. Tomorrow I'll be flying inshallah to Durban. So in the plane we sit all together. You just see around the taxis, they're all sitting together. Allah. So when they go there, they must remember that when they're having the political rallies, thousands of people all. So only the masjid is troubling you. Everywhere else is permissible. So I told you, you need to go to a psychiatrist. There's one screw loose in your brains, I think.
Somebody says, my friend's father-in-law and sons, they hit him, Ustad, because he hit his wife. Was that right? Now they want divorce, Ustad.
So you must remember, we don't know what all the facts are, but what we have, there was an argument between a husband and wife, and remember, the husband assaulted the wife. According to the question we answer, obviously. So was that right? Totally haram. I always told you, the women where the husband bashes up the wife, hits her, and so forth, don't waste your time by me, or by the Maulanas, or the Ulama, or the Jamiats, go straight to the police, lay a charge of assault, and let him go thronged to. He needs to go to prison. At least that they take a little bit serious, so they need to learn a lesson. You must remember, you can't be bashing and battering and assaulting your wife. Totally haram. Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 19, وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that treat your wives with love, with equity, with justice, and so forth. So today, remember that sometimes some husbands go beyond all limits and boundaries, so that's haram. Now, her family members, they heard about it, they didn't go and verify anything, so they patched up, you must remember, that husband there, whether he's a son-in-law, or whether he's a brother-in-law, or whatever he is. So they donored him, gave him such a hiding, they made him the outlaw. You understood? Now what happens? So now husband, wife, both swearing, fighting, cursing one another. So now he say he will divorce the wife, or the wife say that you must divorce me. So you see, all parties, A to Z, all are guilty. So guilty, you must remember, the husband for hitting his wife. Second wife, the wife that you phoned and contacted your family, come donor this guy, come give this guy a good threshing and so forth. So you should have told them, come here and solve this problem. But it seems Allah alone knows that maybe you told them that he gave me such a hiding, come give him also a good threshing. So that also is wrong if you did that. And now they came, they're not going to listen to stories. Two, three of them come. One will give him a right jab, one will give him a left hook, one will give him a TKO, a technical knockout, and all that. So he'll be flat, finish and plow. You see, big boxing match going on without a referee. And thereafter, now what we achieve? Zero. Now they say we want divorce. Is this how Muslims behave? And in that, you know, I was having breakfast, and then I heard the news. Because breakfast time, I said, let me listen to the news. So you hear the Muslim people's names, 100 million, 150 million, one. We just say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You see, there's money. It speaks all languages. Money is sweeter than honey. So do Muslims behave like this? Other way things are going? Obviously not. Does Islam teach us to behave like that? Definitely not. But we want to show a point, you know, so that now we stay in the media, it's splashed throughout the world now. The internet, the news channels, the print media, everybody will have. This minister, ex-minister, Mkhizi, I can't pronounce their names properly. Then this Mason, yeah, this woman, yeah, this male, yeah, this one, some Muslim names, some non-Muslim names, all that. This is now the disgrace. You can never remove it from you. You must remember these things here. So wa may yuhini Allahu fama lahu min mukrim. So you, all parties, go sincerely, call one alim, and he must speak to you all, and you all need to ask one another for forgiveness. And that couple there, married 10, 20, 25 years, you can't just be breaking your marriage now and so forth. Allah alone knows what led to all this. So our job must be jorna, to save the marriage, and not torna, and not to break the marriage.
Haq, Ustad, haq. 18 minutes to 12 o'clock, anonymous says, Ustad, salams Mufti Sahab, my husband talks about Islam, but he spoils our children with all the new gadgets. What can I do, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before I respond to that, we just now will be rushing for questions and answers and so forth. So let me just announce it now. So inshallah al-Aziz, tomorrow, Thursday, after Isha, that I will be there, inshallah, 7:30 in Jamaat in Masjid-e-Hilal. There in Durban, the famous masjid there. So 7:30 Jamaat, and the program will be live on Radio Al-Ansar. So remember, that will be between 8 and 9, around that time day, inshallah, tomorrow night, Thursday night. Then Friday, inshallah, that we will be there in the Glennon Road Masjid, the Sufi Masjid, just opposite our studios there, Markaz Sahaba Studio, and that is, mashallah, the Jummah lecture, and that will be live, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz, with the Sirius FM and Radio Al-Ansar International, and with Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And then inshallah after Asr, Asr is 5 o'clock at the Avondale Musalla. So at the Avondale, so inshallah from 5 to 6 the program will be live on Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, and that will be the nikah of Hafiz Ismail, the son of our director Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and his honorable wife Sister Amina, and daughter, and it will be that Hafiz Ismail going to marry to Sarah Bibi Ishaq, and she is the daughter, mashallah, of Hafiz Yusuf Ishaq and his honorable wife, that Fatima, inshallah. So we beg everyone, request everyone, make dua, Allah Jalla Wala guide our Hafiz Ismail and our sister Sarah Bibi Ishaq, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala give them many, many years Ameen. Of joy, Ameen. Allah Ta'ala bless them with pious children. So this Friday, yeah, the 1st of October, October, inshallah, 23rd of Safar, after Asr, the nikah will be, and it'll be live, inshallah, on Markaz Sahaba, and live on Radio Al-Ansar International. So therefore, just diarize that. Inshallah, tomorrow and Friday, we'll announce it again, inshallah. Right, now you have a husband and a wife. So the husband, he speaks about Islam, all that. But when it comes to all the latest technology, gadgets, all these things, those things that will divert a person away from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, he is the first one to bring it to the house. So you must ask him as a wife, as a mother, see what Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tulikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an zikrillah. That, ay iman walo, oh you believe, so do not you let your wealth and do not let your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And whosoever does that, he's a failure and a loser in this world and the year after. Chapter 63, Surah Munafiqun, verse number 9. So tell him that he is not getting his priorities right. One side he wants to speak of Islam. One side bring all the gadgets and technology and so forth and so. And you know half of them today are so detrimental that they will spend hours and hours. They won't have time for Salat. They won't have time for Tilawat of Quran. They won't have time to remember Allah. Late at night, they'll go sleep 12, 1 o'clock. For that time, the shaitan is urinating in their ears. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Bala shaitanu fi udhunay. So therefore, life is all about al-aham fal-aham. We need to get our priorities correct and not that. I just told you just now, 90%, 80% of the parents today, Muslim, non-Muslim. We're more worried about Muslim now. So remember that instead of winning over their child and spending quality time with their child, they buy off the love of the child. They buy the son, the daughter off with material things. And then the child grows up and then he sees, my father, mother, they didn't spend time with me. They just tried to buy me off. And you can see it now. So that is a wrong signal, a wrong message we are sending to our children.
Somebody says, your ustad, from overseas, going on to the topic of love potions. Is it permissible for a man to make a ta'weez, ustad, for a woman to fall in love with him and marry him? And the question says, what should the wife do if she finds her husband in possession of such ta'weez, ustad? Anonymous.
Remember that the question here is this, if it was not very, very clear. So number one is the way the question is posed, this person here is married, right? He's got his wife, she's got a husband, maybe they got children. Now this husband here went to one ta'weez wala or something. First of all, me, I'm dead against all these people. Yeah, when I say all, I mean majority. 80%, 90% of these ta'weez sheikhs and amils today are not trustworthy. They take the ummah for a ride. You get 5, 10, 15, 20% maximum. That are good, straight people, no money, no nothing. They do it, you understand, to help people and so forth. But the rest is just money making, and the people got wahm and doubt and so many, you understand, suspicion, you can't believe and so forth. Anyway, so he, the husband, goes to the ta'weez guy and says that he tells him and he pays him that I want to marry that woman there. So he gives here, this ta'weez guy gives this husband a certain thing, ta'weez, so that lady will fall in love with him. Or the other way around, the lady goes, you must remember that, to the ta'weez guy, and then she says that I want him, that guy who's married, that he must fall in love with me. All this absolutely haram and not permissible in Islam. There is a couple, they married, they're leading their life. What, you want to go and poke your big nose in their business? Now you want to break their marriage? You want their marriage must turn, you know, sour and so forth? So you must become the second wife, or that wife must move out the first wife who made all the sacrifices and so forth. So therefore, all this what you're suggesting, you say you're from overseas, I hope you understand English properly. So all this is haram and not permissible. Ye jo dande aap log kar rahe hai, kisi taweez wale ke paas ab gaye aur kaha taake wo aurat mujhse mohabbat kare ya main unse mohabbat karu aur phir garbadi ho jayegi aainda jaakar, to ye sab haram dande hai aur jaiz nahi hai Islam mein.
Sister says, I learnt a lot from you all, Mufti Sahab. Keep up the good work. I thoroughly enjoy the programs. When will we ever going to go for Umrah again or for Hajj, Ustad?
We must never place our trust in governments or in people and so forth. You read the story. So many a time you heard it of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. So what did he say, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when they were being oppressed by the tyrants, the tenpot dictators? He, the Pharaoh, had the police, had the army, had his cronies, comrades, everybody. He, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Harun alayhi salam, told the people, you must read chapter 10, surah 10, surah Yunus, and verse 85 and 86. The meaning is, only upon Allah we place our trust. Rabbana la tajalna fitnatan lilqawmi zalimeen. Oh beloved Allah, do not make us a target and a trial for people who are the zalims, the oppressors, the tenpot dictators, and that is what we're seeing today in the holy lands of Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. Wa najjina birahmatika min al-qawm al-kafirin. Ya Allah, you save us and rescue us from, through your mercy, from a people who are the disbelievers. So this dua must be read. And on the other side, place your trust and your hopes, aspirations on Almighty Allah alone. So daily you read 2 rakat salat and you read surah 2, chapter 2, verse 128. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka anta Rahim. Oh my beloved Allah, show us the holy places of Makkah, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, and forgive us. Medina will come in, obviously, a Muslim definitely before Umrah, after Umrah, or before Hajj, after Hajj, will go to Medina Munawwara, and forgive us, make us your mehman and guest, make us the mehman and duyuf and the guest of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Now you are all forgiving, very merciful. Now the question arises, we must remember that when this person, he has the love, he wants to go, but for reasons we can't go, we all know. So every day read 2 rakat salat 15 minutes after sunrise. You read Fajr on time, then engage yourself in tilawat of Quran or teaching or some zikr and so forth. And thereafter you read 2 rakat salat umratun wa hajjatun tamah tamah tamah. Every day you can make Hajj and Umrah and you will get optimum, maximum reward. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Look at your beloved father with love and respect. You get Hajj sawab. Sahaba said 70 times, it's 70 times Allahu Akbar. That we will get tired, but Allah Ta'ala, the reward never ever gets finished and exhausted. So remember that every day you can get Hajj and so forth. So Allah Ta'ala gave us badil, a substitute as well. So do that in the meantime, inshallah.
So the person says, Mufti Sahab, please comment on the above. In all the nikahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa in the Sahaba, we find that there was no meal offered by the girls' party. The wedding feast, which is all too common today, and it carries on to start.
So you must remember that it is acceptable. You can't go say it's bid'ah or haram or something like that. And even that statement of yours, you must remember to say it never happened and so forth, it's not 100% true. So you must remember that when you have, if you got your Hazrat Sheikh's Kitab, oh Jazul Masalik, the commentary, you understand, of Mu'tama Malik is a big work, you understand. So you must remember, and Hazrat Sheikh did such a great favor to the Maliki scholars and the Malikis, that they came to Hazrat Sheikh in Madinah Munawwara, kissed his Mubarak hands and said, Sheikh, we learned so many things of the Maliki fiqh which we didn't know. So in there you will find in Kitabun Nikah and so forth, Mawaqi'ul Wala'im, meaning the occasions of giving da'wat and so forth. So one is Imlaku Zawja. Imlaku Zawja is after you have your wife. I'm not speaking of Walima. Walima is after husband wife has spent the night, or you husband wife went into khalwa and into junub privacy. So after that you have a meal, the marital banquet and so forth, walima. That 100% is sunnah. But even straight after nikah, if you give, so you must remember, ulama have considered that also to be mustahab. Some say sunnah and so forth. So you can't say it's something bid'ah and so forth or haram. Most to most we will say that it is permissible and acceptable. They are your guests, so you can't just leave your guests now, take one hadith and forget all the other ahadith. Did not Nabi alayhi salam say, my daughter is getting married to Mona Arafat's son, for example. So now people come here. So I tell you, no, that you must go home and we won't give you a meal. So what about all this ahadith? Nabi alayhi salam said, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfa. That whosoever believes in Almighty Allah and the last day, so he must then be honorable to his guest and so forth. So you need to look at things holistically and not selectively.
Mufti Sahib, I remarried and I am the stepmom to two beautiful kids. We see the kids every other weekend. Now the kids on their own, they call me mommy. Their mother called my husband and she made a big issue that they should not call me mommy. They only have one mother, dear Mufti Sahib. The poor kids got a mouthful from her too. What do we do in this situation, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember that it's true. They should not be calling you mummy. So you must just tell them with love and with some wisdom and so forth. They can call you, you understand, auntie. Or they can call you, you must remember that it's any word like, you know, that of respect or whatever. You like auntie, it's fine. You know, khala or whatever. So in that way there, that will be fine. But to call you, they're calling you mother, so ma'ummi, so that is wrong. Remember that. Mother is one. So therefore, Islam is strict on these issues here, that they must not get confused, and we have to protect always the lineage of people. Even after divorce, remember that the husband will always be the father, and the name of the children must be going to him, to his name or his surname. And the mother, it must be, she will always be the mother, although maybe she didn't bring up her children very well. So we can't change that. You have one set of parents. Then that husband remarries, the stepmother, the children, they really love one another and so forth. And now because they lack that love or whatever the circumstances, they start calling her ummi and all. No, you must say rather call me khala or call me, you understand, auntie or something like that. So in that way you don't have problems, and don't then in that way you're going to give her ammunition, the biological mother, to shoot you. You must remember. So therefore, and it will just upset the children. So just change the term to auntie or something and it's fine.
Ustad, I was supposed to get married on Sunday, but my father passed away on Sunday and the nikah turned to a mayat. Now, dear Mufti Sahib, when does the nikah actually take place? From the time we accept or when the Molana does the rituals, Ustad?
So you must remember, so you could get married that same day also. So you are not in iddat or something. Your mother will be in iddat and you could get married the same day. So even this Friday you can get married. On this Saturday, Sunday you can get married. So the nikah will only be valid after all the ijab, kabul, the proposal, acceptance, the witnesses, and the father gave permission and so forth. If the father passed away, then remember the brother, the uncle, paternal uncle, pastor, bror. So they must give permission and you go ahead. So my advice to all parties here, do not make so far means in Arabic that you keep on postponing at tasweefu min ash-shaytan. So delaying, deferring is from Satan. Nabi alayhi salam said, ya ma'ashar ash-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. You the youngsters, you got the means, everything, get married immediately. So all parties, don't now go and delay, get married immediately inshallah, and Allah Ta'ala will reward you and your father or mother whoever passed away. Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. And read Surah 14 verse 41. Okay, quickly.
Just now, one more Ustad from Australia says, can I get married now and have my reception in January, Ustad?
In Islam there is no such thing as reception and all that. That's all Western custom, you must remember. In Islam, you get married today, husband, wife, spend the night together, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, walima, finish. Not you get married this weekend in October, and then after 3 months, 4 months, reception, all that. There's nothing like that in Islam. All that is Western customs and all that. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum, who imitates a people, becomes part and parcel of them. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. Okay, next up will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter, inshallah, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam by Mohan Abdul Rahman Saluji, and then 1 o'clock the Zohar Adhan, and then Surah Kahf, inshallah, the story, incident, narrative of Nabi Musa alayhi salam with Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, verses 66 to verse 70, and 132 Surah Hud, chapter 11, and verses 31 to 35, 2 to 3 Madrasa on air by Mawla Zahid Khan, 3 to 3:30 the repeat of the Q&A of this morning, 3:30 to 4 Taqwa and True Piety, Mawana Hazrat Mawana Ahmad Latsab, and 4 to 5 Ulumul Quran, Mufti Yusuf Mangera, and 5 to 7 will be Mawana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 the repeat of today's tafsir, 7:30 to 8 Mawana Yunus Patel, 8 to 9 clinical psychologist Mike, Dr. Michael Theron. So he is a psychologist, so should be interesting with Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. 9 to 9:30 will be Sheikh Shuaib Maida, and 9:30 to 10 Mona Salman Kaji, then 10 to 11 Mona Ridwan Kaji. So wonderful program, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make easy. Now the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In 4 to 6 As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.